Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, it's Mark Schler with the Stinkin' Truth Podcast. The NFL season is in full swing, and I'll be here to break down all the action like no one else can. Follow and listen to the Stinkin' Truth Podcast on your free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, Grant and Danny on the Fan. The show is brought to you by the law firm Kondori and Murad. They're going to help you update your last will and testament. We'll set up a revocable trust for you and your family. Schedule a consultation with their estate planning attorneys today. You visit kmlawyers.com to do that. Tell them G&D sent you to get a discount. That's kmlawyers.com. It is time. A couple of days ahead of a critical Sunday night football game, a chance to clinch a playoff spot to scout the opponent. Danny out today. Toby is in alongside. Grant with you. And let's bring on the guest hotline, Mark Raimondi of ESPN, who covers the Falcons. Mark, thanks for a few minutes. How are you?
I'm pretty good. How are you guys?
Doing very well. So I don't know how much we could take out of one game since the quarterback shift because the Giants are tumultuous. I mean, it's just such a terrible team that it's hard to say what was different or what was better, but take your best guess. Like, what did you learn about Michael Penix and this offense last week?
Well, the one thing that if you just look at the numbers and what they were running, there was more motion. Penix was out of the pocket a whole lot more than Kirk Cousins was, which is not going to be a surprise to anyone who watched Kirk Cousins this year. He was pretty immobile. He was pretty much confined to the pocket. Couldn't really manipulate the pocket or move up in the pocket or scramble out of the pocket for that matter. So from just a mobility standpoint, they did a lot more with Penix. So I think that's something to look for. And I think that's one of the interesting things about Atlanta over the next few games is that there's just not a whole lot of tape on Michael Penix Jr. and the offense that they're running with him, which is, could be an advantage, you know, going into this home stretch here.
I mean, what is the offense going to look like that's different? I mean, is it, you know, we were talking in the break about maybe some more bootlegs and, you know, did you get to see more of what he was going to look like in training camp? We didn't get to see a whole lot in preseason, obviously. So what is different about the offense with Penix versus with Cousins?
Training camp feels like it was so long ago, so it's really hard to say. I mean, he was still very, new to everything back then, but just judging from the Giants game, there definitely was more play action and they ran motion so much more with Penix, for whatever reason. There were a lot more guys in motion. I think it was, I forget what percentage, but it was a much larger percentage with Penix than it was with Cousins. I think you're just going to see him being more mobile. There's going to be more rollouts, more bootlegs, stuff like that. And over the last, in Cousins, the last like five games that he played, could not throw the ball downfield. And I think you'll see a lot more of that from Penix as well.
Mark Raimondi covers the Falcons with us on Grant and Danny. You know, what's interesting with Cousins was his whole career has been a play-action, drop-back kind of assassin. They were never under center. They never dropped back. And they never moved him on bootlegs. They did that 2% of the plays that he played in on dropbacks. They did that 24% of the time with Penix. So even though he's been asking for that and wanted more of that, it seems like you're saying he just wasn't capable of it from a mobility standpoint. Like the Achilles wasn't allowing him to do that. It wasn't that Zach Robinson didn't want to. Is that fair?
I mean, I asked almost every week. I asked Kirk Cousins and I asked Raheem Morris, is Kirk healthy? Is he 100%? And the answer was always yes, that he was fine. But if you look at what you just said, I mean, this is a guy, Kirk Cousins, who has been one of the best play action passers. I mean, you guys probably know this, back when he was in Washington, he was good at it back then. You know, one of the best in the entire NFL for the last decade. and it was just not a part of their strategy. It was not a part of their playbook. And I have a hard time believing that's because Kirk Cousins just all of a sudden forgot how to do that. I mean, I really believe it was just that they could not. He just was not able to get to the spot, you know, because of the Achilles and because of, you know, maybe not that he's injured, but just he's just not all the way back yet. And that's my theory. No one ever confirmed it for me, but all you got to do is look at those numbers that you just said.
When you look at their run game, Bijan Robinson maybe hasn't had the long run. I think his season long is 37 yards, but he's had an effective season. They're good in the outside zone run game as well. And you look at with Tyler Algier, what have you made of the run game this season? How important is that going to be on Sunday?
Really, really important. And Bijan Robinson is one of the best running backs in the league at running outside the tackles. And I think the Commanders are one of the worst teams at defending that particular run. So that is going to be a really, really big key. It takes the pressure off the rookie quarterback. Maybe some bad weather on Sunday night. I think the Falcons are kind of expecting that. There might be some rain. And I think Bijan Robinson and Tyler Algier are going to be vitally important to the team. And Bijan Robinson has really had – it's kind of been a little bit of an under-the-radar because he hasn't had that spectacular run like you mentioned, but he really just gets the job done week in and week out. And I'm not sure where this Falcons team would be, especially on offense, without him.
One guy watching the Falcons a lot this year that I find to be completely maddening, and the word I would use, honestly, is untrustworthy, is Pitts. You know, there's really no reason after 1,000 yards as a rookie why Kyle Pitts has become whatever version of himself he is now. How do you explain him away as a player at this point?
It's a good question, and you know, Falcons fans will tell you that they can't. You know, they really can't explain what has happened with Kyle Pitts because there's been flashes this season at Tampa Bay. You know, had 2 touchdowns, over 100 yards, just looks fantastic. He is a true game changer. He made a catch in New Orleans this season that it almost helped, you know, helped Falcons win that game. They were not able to, but you know, just a jumping catch in traffic, and it was like, this is what Kyle Pitts can be. You know, he's bigger than everybody. You know, he's faster than everybody. You know, he's long, he's explosive, but for whatever reason, and you know, some of that in Cousins for, you know, last 5 games is he just wasn't throwing the ball downfield, like I said, and Pitts is that big play guy. Maybe we'll see, you know, Kyle Pitts come to life again with Michael Penix Jr., but it's hard if you're a Falcons fan to say that will be the case because there has been kind of that disappointment over the last few years with him.
I mean, we all know Drake London. We remember him getting drafted high. But, you know, people that aren't as dialed into the Falcons, Darnell Mooney's had a good year, kind of resurging his career. Ray McCloud, people aren't, you know, super familiar with his game, especially when you see 34 running around there at wide receiver. What do you make of the other guys in this wide receiving core that have had pretty good seasons?
Mooney has really been a revelation for the Falcons. I don't think when he was signed back in April or March that fans thought he was going to make as much of a difference as he has. And he was really, I mean, he was one of Cousins' favorite targets. And at times he was his favorite target. He's really been a guy that, you know, he's been really good with the, you know, yards after the catch. He gets open on the outside. He's been really, really solid. And he's kind of had a career year with this new offensive offense running under Zach Robinson. And Cousins was a big proponent of him. And, you know, we'll see what happens with him with Penix. I assume it'll be more of the same. And Ray McCloud, that's a guy that, you know, I'm glad you mentioned him because he's a guy that, of the Falcons starting receivers, he is the one who has worked the most with Penix because they are both from Tampa and they train together in the offseason. So look out for him. I think he'll be a favorite target of Penix as well.
You could tell Kirk loved him on third down, middle of the field, you know, threw mm-hmm. to him a ton mm-hmm. when he would get one-on-one, almost like he would use like T.J. Hockenson in Minnesota or some mm-hmm. kind of like tight end running choice routes in the middle of the field. Mark Raimondi is with us, covers the Falcons on Grant and Danny here on The Fan. Specific to their downfield passing game, did that open up at all last week? I know they only played like 2.5 competitive quarters before they started to shut it down anyway. Or was it more of the same in terms of, you know, everything kind of short and intermediate?
Penix took more shots in the first half. He wasn't always successful in all of them, but he did take a couple of shots in the first half. He had one that he actually missed Darnell Mooney on that got called for a defensive pass interference that helped set up a touchdown. That was actually a big play. And Not so much in the second half because the game was pretty much over by then. But I do think that Penix, seeing him in training camp, the guy is just, his arm is just incredible. I mean, his arm is ridiculous. It comes out so fast, and it's just humming, like it's just like zipping out of his hands. And if the guys are open downfield, he's gonna find them. And they need to work on their chemistry because they just have not worked together a lot. And you saw a little bit of that against the Giants. You saw some drop passes. The Falcons have been one of the best teams in the NFL in not dropping passes this year, but they were kind of dropping Penix's passes a little bit against the Giants. Didn't end up mattering, but that kind of thing could end up mattering against a much better team in the Commanders.
I wonder, on the other side of the ball, looking at Atlanta's defense, everyone's saying they've gotten a lot better because the results have been better in the last month. They really, really struggled earlier in the year. But they've also been playing Drew Lock, right? I mean, Herbert got hurt in the game where they played him. They played some bad quarterbacks here recently. Like, do you think that they've figured some things out? They still don't rush the quarterback all that well? Or do you think it's kind of been a fortuitous stretch in terms of matchups?
I think a little bit of both. A little bit of both, certainly. They're definitely rushing the quarterback a lot better than they were. And I say that because, I mean, they were rushing the quarterback at an all-time horrible rate over the first 10 games of the season, right? So, from week 11 or week 13, actually, after their bye on, they've been much better. I think they have at least 3 sacks per game since then, which is the best streak in the league right now. And if you would have told me that, back in like week 9, week 10, I would have thought you were crazy because they were just not getting to the quarterback at all. So it has been a lot better. They definitely tweaked some things. Their run defense has been better, which has set up that pass rush on the passing down. So they're not facing like a second and 3, a third and 1 as much as they were. That has definitely helped a lot too. So it's definitely gotten better, but this is still a defense that allows the highest completion percentage to their opponents in the entire league. I mean, quarterbacks are completing percentages at a tremendous rate against the Falcons defense, which is the pass rush and the secondary. It's kind of on both of them. So it's still not a great defense, but it is definitely an improved defense.
I mean, I feel like some of the dudes in the secondary. It's not like an incredibly, big-time name defense, but a Jesse Bates. A Justin Simmons. A.J. Terrell. What's causing that? Is it just taking advantage of the other guys, or is it just no pass rush and, in turn, you can't cover guys?
Yeah, I mean, no pass rush. And just I think the Falcons are one of the teams that are the worst at allowing the most time for quarterbacks to throw. And that puts a lot of pressure on the secondary. And there's only so much that an A.J. Terrell or Jesse Bates can do. Justin Simmons, they've all had good years. A.J. Terrell has had one of his best years. Jesse Bates is, for me, one of the best safeties and the best safety in the entire National Football League. But there's only so much that those guys can do when you just can't get to the quarterback and there's so much time for them to throw.
Caden Ellis has had a really good season, leads the team in tackles. Talk about the impact that he has made in the run game and how important he's been the last couple of years in Atlanta.
Yeah, I saw a stat today. I think since 2022, Caden Ellis has the most pressures out of any off-ball linebacker in the league. And that just kind of speaks to his versatility because he's good against the run. He's good against the pass. He's a kind of a jack-of-all-trades guy. I don't think you're going to see him in the Pro Bowl anytime soon, Caden Ellis, but he's a guy that every team would love to have as an inside linebacker. He wears the green dot for the defense. He's a leader out there. And just a really overall, really, really solid player, a guy that they lean on a lot. And they lost Troy Anderson this year. He was a second-round pick and just a tremendous athlete at inside linebacker. He's missed most of the season. Now he's out for the regular season. So that's been a big loss. But Ellis has done a good job to, make up for that a little bit. But they would have had a much better kind of 1-2 punch if Troy Anderson was with him for most of the season, which he was not.
Falcons had 2 pick sixes last week. They do have the lowest sack rate in the NFL. And for the third time in 4 years, a bottom 3 pressure rate, which is one thing, I guess, that could bode well for Jaden Daniels. So let's go both sides of the ball. When they have the football, what would Atlanta's game plan, do you think, be against Washington? And then vice versa, when they're on defense, how do you think they'll try to fluster Daniels in Washington's offense?
I think you're going to see a lot of Bijan Robinson on first down, especially. I think you're going to see some Tyler Allgeier. If this is a weather game, if the elements are going to be part of this, it's going to be a lot of the running game. And Tyler Allgeier is really one of the most underrated running backs, I think, in the entire NFL. He had over 1,000 yards as a rookie, and they brought in Bijan Robinson. Now they've formed a really good 1-2 punch. But, in a game that has weather, if it's raining and it's muddy, Tyler Allgeier is going to be a really hard guy to take down. He's like a bowling ball. He played linebacker a little bit in high school and college. And then as far as the defense, I mean, Jaden Daniels is such a difficult person to kind of to mark because he's so versatile. And one thing the Falcons did this week is they brought in Emory Jones, the former University of Florida quarterback, to kind of run the scout team to mimic Jaden Daniels. Kirk Cousins would have been the scout team quarterback, but obviously he's not able to mimic Jaden Daniels because of his mobility issues. That would have been kind of interesting to see had that been the case. But they brought in Emory Jones, and the coaches were very high on Emory Jones, what he was able to do in mimicking Jaden Daniels the last few days. So it's going to be difficult. You know, Jaden Daniels has been – I've been so impressed with him, you know, even just how he's grown since LSU. And it's going to be hard for the Falcons because they struggled against mobile quarterbacks, especially early in the season. Jalen Hurts, you know, hurt them. Pat Mahomes hurt them. So it's going to be tough. I mean, if their pass rush is actually as good as it has looked the last few weeks, that'll be a positive, but it's going to be a tough one.
It's going to be an exciting matchup on Sunday. What's your official prediction?
Oh, man, I don't know. That's a hard one, putting me on the spot. I'm going to say a tie.
Love it.
Oh, that would be terrible. God, I'd rather lose. Ties stink.
They're terrible.
Yeah. Mark, thank you, buddy. We appreciate you.
Thank you.
Anytime. Thanks, guys.
Mark Grimondi of ESPN joining us on Grant and Danny to help us scout the Falcons. How about we get into Jaden Daniels in primetime? What do we expect from Daniels? We can open up the phones on this at 800-636-1067. If you want to predict Jaden's line or give us thoughts on how you think he'll perform under the lights, chance to clinch a playoff berth. Is this going to be a Daniels gem, another signature effort, or do you think that in the sloppy weather, maybe this game is quirky and we don't see the best of Washington's offense? We'll get into that next on The Fan.